So tonight we'll look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the first thing I'd like for us to realize is that, I'll just quote a scripture for us from the 22nd chapter of Luke, verse 1. We'll see that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is related to the Passover. Here the scripture says, "Now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." And I'd like for us to turn, as you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll use that as our first scripture tonight. And we want to just kind of see this tied together here as well, because we are exhorted as the church to keep the feast. We've had people who have thought that because the Old Testament is fulfilled, there really is not much need to study the feast or much of anything regarding the Old Testament. But I think we're learning that there's a lot in that Old Testament to be learned, and it all is applicable, or I should say at least most of it is applicable, to our lives today. So I want to just read in this fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want to read verses 6 through 8. Paul is referring to the condition that is prevalent in the Corinthian church regarding the immorality that's taking place there, and they were glorying about it. They were puffed up about that. And so he says in the sixth verse, "Your glorying or your boasting is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. And as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And so we see here that he says, let us keep the feast in this eighth verse. It is not to be with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. I see that the feast that is to be kept here, that as it relates to the seventh verse here, where it talks about even Christ our Passover sacrificed for us, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What I see here is that he is speaking of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we are actually to be keeping, because I think as we go on this evening and as we study this, we're going to see how this really does apply to us. Now, leaven, of course, is any kind of a permeating influence in our lives that is evil. It's malice. Here's two of malice and wickedness are here that are mentioned. It can be any aspect of sin or sickness, uncleanness. Anything that needs to be put away from us in our walk with God is that which leaven is typical of. Leaven, we know, permeates something. You put a little bit of leaven into a bit of dough, and you start working it around, and it'll totally permeate that whole loaf. And every bit of it will be affected by it. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread is something that is going to be the exact opposite of that. It is going to be actually what God intends, because we are not called to walk with leaven. We're not called to walk with malice, wickedness, sin, sickness, or anything else in our lives. But those things are to have been dealt with Passover, and we're to be free from them. Let's go over to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, which is our kind of point of reference for all the feasts, and then we'll go on from there. Okay, in a verse, again I'll read the verse 6 to 8, in Leviticus 23, this speaking primarily regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread. "And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work therein." Now I want us to notice a couple of things here. Number one is, in the sixth verse, that this is a feast unto the Lord. It's the same as Passover. So we noticed in verse 5 that Passover was the Lord's Passover. So here we also see this Feast of Unleavened Bread is a feast unto the Lord. Remember that the first session that we had on this, so we give an overview of the feast, we saw that the feasts were feasts of the Lord, but by the time that 1500 years had gone by and Jesus came on the scene, they had become feasts of the Jews. And so we see the Feast of Unleavened Bread is also a feast of the Lord. And we see something else here We see that there's to be, it's going to last 7 days, and on the first day you have a holy convocation, on the seventh day is a holy convocation. We're going to say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But the thing I want to notice here is in verse 8, you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. Now this offering that is to be made by fire is the offering that is over and above the daily burnt offerings, the sin offerings, the various offerings that were offered there continuously and daily. This is something that's over and above that at the time of this feast. We're going to look at those just briefly, although I'm not going to go into a lot of details on those offerings, but just enough to see what they represent so that we might get a good indication at least of what they are signifying to us. Now the scriptures that we're going to be looking at primarily for our study, at least directly related to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, are Exodus 12:8, as well as verses 15 through 20. We'll look then at chapter 13, verse 6. We'll look at Numbers 28:17 through 25. We'll look at Deuteronomy 16:3 and 4. So the first thing I'd like to do now is go back over to Exodus, into the 12th chapter, and I want to take a look at verse 8. Exodus 12, verse 8. We'll notice that last time when we were teaching on the Feast of Passover, I read this particular section, but I didn't make a whole lot of comment on it because it's right in the middle of the ordinances concerning the Passover. But I felt to pick it up here, and then we'll build from this down to verse 15. In verse 8 it says, this is now speaking of eating the lamb, eating the flesh of the lamb, or taking of the lamb that night, is to be roasted with fire, and with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs ye shall eat it. So the Passover, well, not so much the Passover. I put this in with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The unleavened bread has a certain amount of bitterness involved with it. They were required to eat bitter herbs with the Passover lamb. Now, there's a reason for that. And the reason that we were going to find there is it was to remind them. I don't know if I have the scripture there or not. What it did. It is to remind them of their slavery, the bitterness that they had, the bitter anguish, the tribulation, the trials, the troubles that they had, because the Feast of Unleavened Bread, just like the Feast of Passover, is one that is to be a remembrance, one that they're to remember something. And the bitter herbs were there, their sweetness was to remind them of the slavery that they had, the bitterness of it, so that every year when they would partake of it, they'd be reminded of what they were delivered from. And I think that's good, because in the New Testament, in several situations, I have a scripture of 2 Peter 1:9 there. It says over there that after building on those things which are listed there, from faith to virtue to knowledge, temperance, and on down the line, it says if a man lack these things, he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins. One thing I think it is very essential and important for us to do as Christians, and that is that we never forget what we've been saved from. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Amen.
That doesn't mean now that we continually recall the former things, but those times when we just remember and are thankful for what He has done, and there's a certain amount of the bitterness that comes along with the joy, just reminding us what it is that we have been saved from. Actually, I guess what we're going to find, the scripture tells about this, is Deuteronomy 16. So we'll look at that a little later on, but we'll be over there in just a little bit. So we'll look at that. Okay, that gives the reason why that the bitter herbs were to be eaten. Going down then to the verse 15, we'll pick it up here. It says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day shall be a holy convocation, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, You shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall no leaven be found in your houses. And whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. As we look at these, verses, the first thing that really comes across to us here is that they are to put away leaven out of your houses. I mean, it's not just a matter of putting it away, but also have to put out of the house. I know that your house probably isn't any different than ours. Sometimes you have, you just to be in a family and things are kind of left laying around, and maybe company's coming, and you start putting things away. This leaven is not something that's just put away. This is something that has to be put out of the house. And what they used to literally do is even take candles and go around and search out that house for any little crumb of leavened bread, anything like that that was left leaven in that house. It all had to be swept and totally gotten rid of. There could be no leaven left in the house. This is very significant for us because of what it typifies to us. We'll see in a minute what this, we're going to the examples of what this leaven is. Also, it says here in these verses that leaven is not to be eaten, or it's not to be partaken of. Because when you eat something, you partake of it, and you draw, as it were, you draw the life and the nutrition, or you draw your life from that which you partake of. That's why the Scripture says time and time again that we are not to be partakers of the evil deeds of those around us. Looking now at this, I think that probably, I've got a reference there, Ephesians 5, I think, on your notes. I don't think I'll turn to that necessarily, but it's a cross-reference for that. I do want to look at something over in the book of Hebrews. If you turn to chapter 9, verse 26, hold your place here in Exodus. We'll be right back. Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to look at verse 26. This is going to be important because of another the other points that we're going to look at in verse 17 of this same chapter here in Exodus. It says in the verse 26, they speaking of Christ and how that the in the past the high priest would have to enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others. But when he, that is Jesus, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, that is if this is the same way as it had been in the under the ordinance of Aaron. But now once in the end of the year, or end of the world, end of the age, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now notice that he appeared, Jesus appeared, to put away sin. And that sin was put away by the sacrifice of himself. In other words, sin was put away, or the provision for sin to be put away, was made with the Passover lamb. And so we would go back to Exodus now. This is just an important reference that I want you to just hold in your thinking for a moment, because it's very significant to us. Also, other scriptures that we could look at there would be in Colossians. I gave a listing there of a couple of things that are to be put away. Hebrews 12:1 says, let's lay aside the weight and that sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's set before us. But going back now into the 12th chapter of Exodus, let's look first at verse 17 for the reason of this feast. Verse 17, let's read it again together. Ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Here's the reason why. Here's the purpose for it. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore ye shall observe this day in your generations for an ordinance forever. Now you see, the reason the feast of unleavened bread was to be kept was it was to be a reminder, a remembrance, or a memorial of what God had done, what the Lord had done. And so when we consider that Jesus also is the Passover lamb, that he came, and as it said there in Hebrews 9, that he came and put away sin once and for all for us. The reason now that we are to observe and keep the feast of unleavened bread in our experience spiritually is again because of what he has done. We're going to see this later on too in the communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me. It's the reminder of what he has done for us. The whole platform of our walk with God is built upon the initiative that God himself took. It has not been initiated by man. It was totally and completely the initiative of God. But that does not leave us then without responsibility. Because we too have a responsibility to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And we do that through obedience. And this Feast of Unleavened Bread is going to begin to point the way toward that. All right, so he says the reasons for this feast is what God has done. Now we see this also correlated in the New Testament in the 12th chapter of Romans, the first two verses of that. We see that that when Paul wrote there, he beseeches you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He goes on and says, don't be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now what is he doing there? He's saying, listen, it is a responsibility now, it is something that is there. We do that because of what he has done. We do that because of what he has provided for us. And so what's the reason for the feast? He gave us, he set us free from sin. And we have a responsibility in light of that. All right, going back now to the 16th verse. Just backtracking a verse, he said, there's something I want us to point out here. Remember, I want you to notice that this feast starts with a holy convocation on the 14th, and it ends with a holy convocation on the 21st. Now the feast of Passover, let me remind you of another thing. The Hebrew calendar and the days of the Bible are reckoned from evening to morning, or from it's from first the evening and then the morning. So the Hebrew day starts at 6 in the evening. It does not start at midnight like ours does on the Roman calendar. But the Hebrew day always started at 6 in the evening and went to 6 the next evening. That's why when they killed the Passover and they ate the Passover at the night, it was the night of the 13th, but it was on the 14th day, but then they didn't actually leave till the morning of the 14th. And so there's kind of an overlap there. But it was this is why it may seem a bit confusing. But at the same time, he says there's the first day is a holy convocation. That's the 14th day, and it's not the 14th night. It's the 14th day because you always have the night, then the day, the evening, and the dawn, the darkness, then the light. And on the seventh day, this gives us a principle. The principle is this: if you're going to end up in holiness, you got to start in holiness. The reason the Lord took the initiative for our salvation and regeneration is because he desires a holy people. He did not leave anything to chance, or did not leave anything in the responsibility for man to have to attain or achieve his own holiness. God did it. God started it in holiness, and God is going to finish it in holiness. But in the meantime, between those two holy days and even during those holy days, there has to be a continual burnt offering. And that offering is something which we need to do then, that which is being presented, which we will need to be presented. So we have a principle here that seed brings forth after its kind. You can't have good fruit stemming from bad seed. Right?
Right.
If you're going to have the right kind of fruit, you have to have the right kind of seed. You can't plant carrots and expect to raise tomatoes. If you sow to the flesh, you're not going to reap everlasting life. You're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. And so the way something is started, the seed of something, the beginning of something, determines its end. So that's why I said, in the beginning shall be a holy convocation, and in the end shall be a holy convocation, because that which shall be has already been. That's why there's nothing new under the sun. Because everything that shall be, God has already initiated. All right? Going on then from this, I just want to make a couple of... I want one little reference. Notice it goes from the 15th to the 21st of this month. Now, although we could perhaps make some other analogies, 15 in the numerology of Scripture is the number for rest. 21 in the numerology of Scripture is the number of the depravity of sin. Now you say, well, how does this tie in? Well, what I see this doing is we start in rest in this feast, and it goes to the 21st, which means there is provision made to have total rest from the depravity of sin. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I'm glad that he made provision for total deliverance and total release, total rest. from the depravity of sin. That's why the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to be remembered year by year, because they were remembering what the Lord had done. And we're going to see this later on in our study this evening, that we do that when we observe communion. We remember what He has done for us. And as a result of that, it gives us then certain responsibilities. All right, going over into the 13th chapter. Remember here, before we turn over there, in the 15th verse, he said that on the first day of this feast, you should put away leaven out of your houses. Well, we're going to see that not only is it going to be out of your houses, but it even goes further than that. And then I'll make comments regarding the both of them. 13 now, chapter 13, verse 6 through 10. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leaven be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. For thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto you upon your hand, and a memorial between your eyes, and that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought you out of Egypt, and thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year. Oh, I like this. Notice what he says. Not only is the leaven to be put out of your houses, but it is not even to be seen with you. It's not to be seen with you. It's not to be seen anywhere around your quarters. What do you suppose is the reason for that?